James Yarko and I were on hand on Wednesday's Zoom press conference, media sessions with members of the Kansas City Chiefs and Tampa Bay Buccaneers ahead of the big game this weekend. We've got some audio from that to share with you. And then, of course, it's Crossover Thursday, our last Crossover Thursday game of the season, as I'm joined by Chris Clark of the Locked On Kansas City Chiefs podcast to talk about the game from both sides of the field on today's episode of the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bucs fans? Welcome to today's episode of Locked On Bucs Podcast. I am your host, David Harrison. My co-host, James Yarko, is off for today's episode, but you can find him over on Twitter at @JYarko_Bucs. Find me at DHarrison82. Find everything that he and I are writing about your Tampa Bay Buccaneers over at BucsNation.com, part of SB Nation, on Twitter at @Bucs_Nation. And then, of course, find this very show on Twitter at Locked On Bucs. Welcome to today's episode. All of you returning listeners, you know we love you. We appreciate you. If you're new to the show, welcome in. What took you so long? You got a full season of content to catch up on, so go ahead and do that. But while you're at it, go ahead and hit the subscribe button, drop a preferably 5-star rating if you don't mind, and then drop a review. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you think of the show and the program. As we get into today's show, guys, we've got audio from Wednesday's Super Bowl media sessions via Zoom conference because of the COVID-19 pandemic, of course. And then Chris Clark of the Locked On Chiefs podcast joins me as we do our Crossover Thursday thing, talking Bucs and Chiefs ahead of this weekend's big matchup for the Lombardi Trophy. And you know what, guys? In true Crossover fashion, let's start off by hearing from Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, again coming from Wednesday's Super Bowl 55 media sessions via Zoom conference.
Next to James Yarko. Go ahead, James.
Patrick, when you played the Buccaneers before, they did not have Vita Vea, and he will obviously be playing in this game. What kind of wrinkles or problems does somebody like Vita Vea create for the offensive line, and what? How do you adapt to his style of play?
Yeah, he's a guy that you got to know where he's at every single play. I mean, he obviously is super disruptive in the run game, but he's just as good as a pass rusher. And you don't see guys like that playing that position that can rush the passer like that much. And so for him, he's a special talent, and I'll have to know where he's at every single play in order to not let him disrupt the entire game.
Thanks, Patrick.
Great question from James there, and then, of course, a solid answer from Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Now let's switch over. I had the opportunity to ask Sean Murphy Bunting a couple questions. I did write an article about it on BucsNation.com, so some of you may have read the quotes, but now let's go ahead and let you hear the questions in real time and what Sean had to say to me on Tuesday. Hey, Sean, congratulations to you. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you. I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. Appreciate it. Jenna Lane of ESPN shared a video recently on Twitter of you and Devin White walking into Raymond James Stadium for the first time and talking about, you know, getting a lot of wins and speculating about the Super Bowl, obviously. During this time of the year, do you have the opportunity, or have you taken the opportunity to kind of pause and appreciate where you guys have come from being drafted 7-9 last year to the Super Bowl this year? Or is that something you still kind of put on hold as you focus for this game coming up?
Yeah, to be honest, man, I haven't really sat down and really took everything in. You know, I've kind of been focused. I've had a really narrow view, a narrow vision. I've been really focused on just kind of these past couple of weeks of just how I can just continue to get better and better and better. I haven't really sat down and just digested everything, man. I'm really excited to just get on the field this Sunday and play in front of the family, in front of the fans for a championship, man. I've never been in this situation. I've never been in any SEC championships, AC, any of that, any MAC championship, anything. So this is really, you know, my biggest championship when it comes to football. And so that's got all I've been focusing on is just playing in that game.
Yeah, absolutely. And then speaking of first experiences, you obviously have been a young defensive back in a Todd Bowles defense yourself. How has Antoine Winfield Jr. kind of adapted to that scheme so quickly or so well in this first year? And what do you think he's brought to the team in 2020?
Yeah, Antoine is very, very smart. He's a baller. He can do just about everything. He can play in the box. He can play high. He can play man. He can blitz. But he's adjusted very well. He's took that role, that leadership aspect, and it's not common to what younger guys do when they come in. But he's kind of embraced it, and he's just been up for the challenge for everything we put him in every situation we put him in, and he's always made big plays, big time plays.
Great, thank you, Sean. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
All right. So definitely appreciate Sean taking the time to answer my questions there and then sharing those here with you guys. Of course, definitely something we wanted to do. And then let's go back to Wednesday's breakouts and Tyler Johnson, wide receiver, of course, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. One of our favorites, honestly, between James and I. James went into his room and was also able to ask him a question. So let's go ahead and air that right now.
Hey, Tyler, congratulations on getting to the Super Bowl. There's been a lot of talk about how many weapons you guys have on offense, but the last 2 weeks, Tom Brady has looked to you in key moments, both against the Saints and the Packers, you know, for crucial catches down the stretch. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship you guys have developed as far as how he can trust you in those moments when you didn't get to see a lot of action in the regular season?
Well, it's crazy, really. Like I said earlier, I just come into work every day and just grind, really. Like I said, I had a phase where I was upset about some things, but at the end of the day, I didn't stop doing what I love to do. And that's definitely to play football. I come in here every day, work my tail off. I'm learning, you know, even whenever I'm doing something wrong or not doing it the correct way, a coach or Tom will even tell me like how to do it the right way. But it's wild and it's still unreal to me that, you know, Tom definitely trusts me on that type of level. But being a confident player that I am, I expect that. And just for me to be in the right spot, sort of at the right time, whenever the situation comes, it's been very huge, though.
All right, good to hear from young Tyler Johnson there. And then his Minnesota teammate joining the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the same NFL class, Antoine Winfield Jr., I had the opportunity to ask him kind of a follow-up to what Sean Murphy Bunting had said the day prior. And then earlier in the week, even if you remember, Jason Light told a story about how he was on the practice field and kind of told everybody, hey, let's not let Antoine get too big of a head. He's not perfect. And a lot of people turned to him and said, no, actually, he is perfect. I asked Antoine about that kind of stuff and how he felt about that. And I mean, I think his answer is pretty much to be expected, but still wanted to share it with you guys. Hey, Antoine, congratulations. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. So I talked to Sean Murphy Bunting yesterday and I asked him kind of how he thought or what his thoughts were on your performance in your rookie year under Todd Bowles, having come through his own rookie year under Todd Bowles as well. And I described you as a baller. And then one of the things he said is just how uncommon your adaptation to the NFL game and to the scheme has been. And then go earlier in the week, Jason Light recounted a story where you stand on the practice field and was told that you were perfect, not making mistakes and all those things. How do you feel coming out of your first rookie, you know, regular season, obviously into the playoffs, that you performed and adjusted the NFL life? And how does it make you feel to hear coaches and players talking about you in that way?
It's always good hearing that, but I know I'm far from perfect. I know I made a lot of mistakes throughout this season. But all learning mistakes, all growing from everything that I've learned from. But throughout the season, it's been a ride, a fun ride at that. But I feel like I'm still getting better. Each game, each week, we're able to go out there and practice and study. I feel like I'm just getting better and better each week. So season's been going well so far, but I'm still continuing to get better.
All right, so a solid answer there from Antoine Winfield Jr. And I'll tell you what, guys, like when you ask these guys these questions, I mean, you kind of imagine being in their position. They've been answering questions all season long, and then Super Bowl week is incredibly long, and they're asking, you know, they're answering the same questions over and over again. When Antoine was answering my question there, he had a real big smile on his face, kind of talking about his teammates and the experience and everything. So in these situations, I'll tell you, when you make a player smile that big when they're answering a question, it kind of makes you feel good as a question asker. You know what I mean? Because you kind of feel like maybe you've broken up the monotony a little bit. But anyway, that's a personal little tidbit. We're going to wrap up this segment with an audio clip here from Jordan Whitehead. James asked him a question in his media session, and I'm going to play that for you here as we get out of segment one.
Hey, Jordan, congratulations. You guys have faced this Chiefs offense already. What kind of problems do they pose that are so unique to them versus the high-powered offenses that you've already faced in the playoffs like New Orleans and Green Bay?
Right. I would really say, like, having Patrick Mahomes is a different type of quarterback because he gets out the pocket. He scrambles, he runs, he'll sit back there seconds and backpedal and throw the ball 100 yards, you know. It's crazy to see. You watch it and it's like, how do you make that play? So it just like comes down to really just playing a play for 10 seconds, playing that play all the way out, plastering on receivers, doing your job because he's going to extend plays and make plays.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for our segment one here on this Thursday episode of Locked On Bucks podcast. And today's podcast is brought to you by rockauto.com, who wants to remind you that there's one reason to repair and maintain your cars, and that, of course, is to save money, because then you can use that money for on important things like mortgage or food or whatever, your next vacation. So we ask you, why would you spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the exact same auto part at a chain store or a new car dealership, when you could go to rockauto.com, who has everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and they're the same whether you're a professional or a do-it-yourselfer. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. David Harrison here, back at the Locked On Bucks podcast on this Thursday. James and I have everything covered you need to know about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but what about the rest of sports? Well, now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today, hosted by the great Peter Bukowski. It's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. Of course, guys, we're talking about the big game this weekend all week long, and we have been really for the last 2 weeks. But long before the team score at Raymond James Stadium, thousands of hours of work goes into making the big game and the amazing spectacle that accompanies it. Tampa Bay 55 is a podcast. It's your exclusive all-access pass behind the scenes with the deal makers, handshakers, celebrities, and athletes. Listeners will go inside the planning meetings and hear firsthand from the people responsible for ensuring every detail is perfect. The podcast is hosted by Ryan Bass, anchor at 10 News WTSP, the CBS affiliated television station in the Tampa Bay area, and Rob Higgins, executive director of the Tampa Bay Sports Commission and president CEO of the Super Bowl 55 host committee. To get behind the scenes scoop on how Super Bowl 55 is coming together, check out Tampa Bay 55, available now on your favorite podcast provider. All right, guys, let's get this crossover Thursday, the last crossover Thursday of the season. David Harrison here, Locked On Bucks, joined now by Chris Clark, Locked On Chiefs. Chris, obviously we want to get into all the emotions, all the feelings. You guys are doing this 2 years in a row, so maybe this is just boring to you now. As somebody covering the Bucks, this is all very exciting. So how do you feel just kind of going through the mid part of the week into the weekend and then roll right into injury updates if you've got any significant ones for us?
You know, I don't want to sound conceited or over the top, but I have to say I'm a little bit more calm about it this year than I was last year. And honestly, you look at it and it's because they're back, and honestly, because I expected them to be back. I mean, they brought just about everybody back on the team. So in that position, you would expect that they're going to do well. And that's kind of what I was looking at. And, you know, not trying to sound cocky, but I expected them to be back here.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense. You know, when you have a talented roster like that who makes it to the Super Bowl and wins, and then, like you said, comes back pretty much intact. I mean, it's hard not to have some of those expectations. Of course, you know, what plays out on the field is going to be what determines how we all feel coming into 2021. But I think both franchises have good reason to be confident no matter what happens in this weekend's game. But looking at this matchup, Chris, I got two questions on offense, two on defense. First, let's start with the running game. In the postseason, Kansas City Chiefs ranking fifth overall in yards per carry with a 4.84 yards per carry average. That's pretty solid. But we also know the Buccaneers' rush defense is their strength as far as their defense side of the ball goes. And then the return of Vita Vea against Green Bay, he looked good. He's had two more weeks to rest, heal, and get back into football shape. So it doesn't look like the Chiefs are going to have the easiest time achieving that high of a rush yards per average. How important is it, do you think, for the Chiefs to establish a run game? Or can they come into this thing essentially having to throw because they can't get the run game going and still win?
You know, I think it's really a good question, but I will say this. I think there's a caveat, and I hate using them, but I will say it in this regard. Andy Reid looks at the running game completely differently than most head coaches. So, you know, you have an end around to Mecole Hardman that went for 50 yards against the Buffalo Bills. That's a running play.
Right.
That's the way he looks at the running game. It's not always going to be between the tackles. It's not always going to be right off the tackle. So you have to take into account those types of plays. I still think the Chiefs will use those types of plays. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they'll use them as much as they have in the past couple of games, because I do know that the Buccaneers defense is very good against the run. But again, the problem is against the run, you're also looking mainly in between the tackles. Yep. If you're looking at getting outside, that's a completely different ballgame, and I think that works against a guy like Vita Vea because he's not going to have the speed to keep track of those guys if they're running basically straight sideline when they get the ball. So that's a big thing there, and I do think that they're going to use that. And the other thing is you know, Andy Reid's also used situations where he'd have a wide receiver pass Patrick Mahomes right in front of Patrick Mahomes and just flip it to him, and that's a passing play, but it's essentially a run.
Right.
So, I mean, I think there's different ways you attack it. I think what it comes down to.
Yeah, absolutely. Using the entirety of the field, we saw the Green Bay Packers not in the first part of that game, the NFC Championship game, but eventually started moving the pocket, trying to make the line of scrimmage reach sideline to sideline, really make the Buccaneers defend the entire time. That's where they had the most success. So that definitely makes a lot of sense. Now moving to the offensive line, obviously that's going to be where the biggest questions lie. How concerned are you about this offensive line going up against this defensive front in Tampa Bay? And I mean, let's just do a JPP saying he doesn't know who Mike Remmers is. I don't really believe that. I think it's a little bit of gamesmanship, but how concerned are you about this offensive line against this front, if at all?
I'm very concerned. I think you have to be looking at that offense, at that defensive front. But I have to say this. I really respect the Buccaneers' defensive line. I think they're very good. I just don't know that I would say that they're on the same level as the 49ers last year. Now, that said, the 49ers last year, you know, were going up against Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher. I do think that that also plays into it as well. And again, I'm not trying to take anything away from the defensive line. I just really don't think that they're on the same level. But what I will say is that, you know, you're looking at, you know, two backup tackles, two backup guards, and really the only guy that's starting that was a starter when the year started was, Ryder at center. So that's going to be a big question mark, and that's definitely something that Kansas City is going to have to overcome. The one thing I will say about that is I think Kansas City has gotten away from the screen game a little bit. I would expect that that's going to come back, and I think part of the reason it's going to come back and come back bigger this week is because that is one of the things that Clyde Edwards-Helaire does fantastic. Yeah. And he has been, you know, banged up. He didn't play. I mean, he played against the Bills, but I don't think he was regularly himself. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a big reason that you didn't see the screen game used, and I think that's something that they're going to, you know, try to get in early because that'll also slow down the pass rush as well.
Yeah, absolutely. When you talk about the screen game, Buccaneers defense can tackle really, really well at times, but we've also seen them get butterfingers on ball carriers, I guess, and just kind of let guys slip and slide past them pretty consistently too. So that would definitely kind of put pressure on that tackling. Flipping over to the Kansas City defense, Chris, when you look at that defensive front, you look at the secondary, I think if you look at it from a roster standpoint, just a black and white name standpoint, the middle of the field is probably what looks to be the most advantageous for the Buccaneers offense to attack. And it just so happens they enjoy actually doing that, especially when teams trying to bring pressure up the middle on Tom Brady, which is historically known for causing him the most problems. They like to get Cam Brate. They like to get the running backs, even guys like Chris Godwin, over that middle part of the field to take advantage of that aggression. Does that worry you at all? Do you feel like the linebackers, the middle part of that defense really, is kind of suspect? And how do you expect this Kansas City Chiefs defense to adjust to facing the Buccaneers a second time?
You know, I think what you have to watch is Kansas City's passing defense, and really when I say that, it's the back four, and I guess you could go back five because nickel is pretty much on the field all the time. And Kansas City plays a ton of dime, too, so sometimes they could have six defenders on the field for that. And I think what you're going to see is that they're going to vary things up. One of the things that I think is going to play a huge key in this game that a lot of people aren't talking about is the difference that Juan Thornhill can make on the backside of the Chiefs defense. He is able to cover the same ground that he was when he was a rookie. He finally looks like he's back from his injury from his ACL tear last year, which caused him to miss the Super Bowl. I think that could be a huge addition. And I understand you're talking about linebackers, but when you start talking about pass defense and you start talking about the safeties coming down and having the speed to come down really can affect the linebacker play too.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's really where I'm coming from with that. I do think that that is probably the weakest part of the Chiefs defense, and it's definitely something they need to worry about. But I do think that they also have a couple of places or a couple of pieces that they really like using in those situations. And Daniel Sorensen's another one that they could put in more of a linebacker role, even though he plays safety.
Yeah, absolutely. I like everything you just said there, and I can't find a hole in any of your arguments. Ryan Tracy and I have been doing a lot of videos and audio work for the Locked On Today podcast, part of this very network, one of our new shows. And in a recent video, we had to basically tell the audience who we thought our under-the-radar players were. He selected Kansas City Chiefs cornerback Jarius Sneed, which is interesting because I also picked a Buccaneer secondary player in safety Mike Edwards. I wanted to ask you your thoughts on that as well and to expand on that. But before I did that, I asked somebody else what he thought about this under-the-radar label for Jarius Sneed, and I wanted to play that audio for you. Hey, Jarius, hope you're doing well. Congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you.
Definitely. So with all the stars on the Chiefs roster, specifically on your guys' defense, it's kind of hard for some of you guys to stand out amongst the crowd, especially on a national stage. But coming into this weekend's game, Ryan Tracy of Locked On Chiefs actually identified you as his under-the-radar player who could have a really big impact on how Super Bowl 55 goes down. So how do you feel about that kind of a status placed on you, and then what is it you think that you bring to the field, especially most recently in the pass rush as well as in coverage, that's going to help you stand out in this game?
You know, man, I know Coach Spads dialed up the best, you know, defense for us, put us in the best position that we need to be in. And I know the guys up front going to handle theirs, and the middle linebackers, the linebackers going to handle theirs, and we're going to handle ours from the back end, you know. And I feel like Spad got us in the right position. You know, everybody just do their job. You know? We're preparing now for 2 weeks now. So, you know, just go out there, play ball, and put God first.
All right, Chris, so that was Jarius Sneed, obviously Kansas City Chiefs cornerback during his Super Bowl media session. And I'll tell you, Chris, I got that question into him literally 5 minutes before we jumped on here to record. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get this in time, but I was able to get it. That's what Jarius Sneed thinks. So you know what Ryan thinks, obviously, and that's what Jarius thinks of this whole thing. What are your thoughts coming into the weekend about Jarius Sneed being an underdog or an under-the-radar potential big play or big impact player in the Super Bowl?
I think it could be huge. Really what it comes down to for me is it's really hard for me to call him under the radar because I cover the team on a regular basis. But I understand where Ryan was going with it. When you're looking from a national perspective and you don't know this team, I could definitely see why he would be that guy. He's a rookie. Not many people – he's not going to be a household name right now. He did start the season and get a lot of picks early, and then he got hurt. So he doesn't really have the stats that would back up like a Pro Bowl bid. So I get why that was the pick, and I definitely agree with it as well, because you sit here and you look at him in this defense, and they're just a completely different defense when he's on the field. When he's able to play, he can shut down whoever he's covering, and that is, you know, something that is a very valuable trait in the NFL. So I do think that that's a huge player that people need to be watching when this game goes on Sunday. Jarius Sneed, I think, is a guy that could make plays, and if he makes a pick or two in this game, and yeah, I said two, just because he always seems to be around the ball, it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely, if he's not getting interceptions, he's getting sacks in a lot of games in this rookie season, you know, other than being injured. He's definitely had an impressive year. So that's going to wrap up my questions for Chris here, talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to flip it now on this crossover Thursday, and Chris is going to take over the questions. I'm going to try to field his questions and answer them best I can for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Before we get to Chris's questions, though, guys, we've got to talk about your preparation for the big game this weekend. And, of course, I'm talking about the little bit of extra action you can get in on over at betonline.ag. With the NFL season wrapping up, one more game left to play, why not get in and add a little bit more juice to the festivities? Go to betonline.ag, sign up today for your 50% welcome bonus using the promo code LOCKEDON. So you go in there, make an initial deposit of $200. You get an extra $100 from betonline.ag. That's $300 you can put on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to take it all this weekend against Kansas City Chiefs. Don't sit on the sideline anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And if you eat a little too much food at the Super Bowl party, guys, Echelon is here to help you out with that. When it comes to getting in or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as the feeling of accomplishment, hitting your fitness goals, and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your own home. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to five family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try Echelon Fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/lockedon. That's echelonfit.com/lockedon to get in on Echelon, the evolution of fitness. Thursdays on Locked On NFL are a must-listen as Ryan Tracy and Jake Liskow break down teams across the NFL from an analytics and team-building perspective. Get the expert analysis on your favorite teams from Ryan and Jake every Thursday. Subscribe to Locked On NFL wherever you get your podcasts.
My last quick thought on Jarius Sneed is you mentioned his sacks, and that is a phenomenal aspect of his game that I didn't even expect to come about, but it's been great to see during the playoffs, so I do think that that's going to be something to watch as well. I just want to jump in really quick. So I will go basically two questions on offense, two questions on defense as well. But my first question is, I look at this game, and I understand it doesn't mean anything, the Week 12 game they played. I mean, yeah, Kansas City won. You know, it was a three-point win. You know, that's great. But one thing that sticks out to me is I'm looking at statistics. Kansas City had 21 first down plays in that game. They only had 6 third down plays. How do the Buccaneers go about changing that? Because that seems like a huge disparity that if you can't fix, that's going to be very hard to stop this team.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I mean, this team loves to take the ball away from opposing players. Sean Murphy Bunting talked about that during some of his Super Bowl media time about how much they value getting takeaways from the opposing team. But you can't just rely on those takeaways. You're not going to get enough of them to beat some of the best teams in the National Football League most weeks. Anyway, so in order to get off the field, right, what you got to do? You got to make them punt, and you got to make them go for field goals and at least come away with just 3 instead of 7. In order to do that, obviously, like you point out, you've got to get to third down. And the Buccaneers defense really, by and large, over the rest of the season has been really good at getting teams to third down. Where they've struggled more often than not is getting teams off the field in third down, sitting there with an opposing third down conversion rate over 40%. And usually you want to be right around the 33 to 38% if you can be, not into the mid-40s. Which is where the Buccaneers have sat most of the year. And that's where you see a lot of these defensive problems come into. You even go back to Green Bay when they were starting to make that comeback. There was a third and I want to say 15 that they had the Green Bay Packers on in deep in Packers territory, probably looking to get the ball back around the 50, if not in Green Bay territory after the punt. And they give up 16 yards on third down. What ends up happening, the Packers end up going down and scoring a touchdown. And that's part of what sparked that comeback bid that they had in Green Bay a couple weeks ago. So that just kind of shows the importance of not only getting to third down early in possessions, but getting off the field after those third downs. Patrick Mahomes, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback in his own right, but I think in today's NFL, Patrick Mahomes is the more dangerous quarterback. If you let him string together 2 or 3 third down conversions, then he's going to do damage against you. He's going to put you in a precarious situation. But first things first, like you said, you got to get to third down. That means winning on first down, stopping the run, and not allowing chunk plays on first down from the Chiefs passing offense.
Well, and I'm glad you bring up stopping the run, because I do think, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier, and I do think that Andy Reid's going to look at the run a little bit differently. But I also think that going into this game plan, I think that Andy Reid is going to plan on throwing the ball a lot and not necessarily going to be going down the field, because I think that could be something that would be problematic with the Chiefs' offensive line issues. Mm-hmm. But I think that he is going to be attacking the medium range and maybe trying to take a shot or two at times. How do you think Tampa Bay is going to try to slow the passing attack down? Because one of the things that Kansas City does so well is being able to use Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill the way they do. But now they're getting Sammy Watkins back, and they're going to have Mecole Hardman. I mean, that just puts a lot of pressure on the defense.
Absolutely, it does. And I think you're going to start off with the mentality of go out there and do your job and win your assignment. And I don't think that means you're going to see man-to-man coverage with Carlton Davis and Tyreek Hill a lot to start this game. I can't imagine that type of a situation. But I think what you're going to do, I mean, you're probably going to see Travis Kelce kind of manned up against either a Lavonte David or a Devin White. And they're going to tell him, look, you guys know how to body a tight end. You know how to cover. You know how to go after the ball. Yes, he's Travis Kelce, one of the best to do it right now and one of the best to do it ever in the history of the NFL as far as tight ends are concerned. But these guys are talented, and Travis Kelce is still a human being. If you stick an arm in there between Travis Kelce's hands as he try and catch the ball, he doesn't have an extra hand to come in there and secure that pass. So if the Buccaneers defense can play technically sound, they can do some things and prevent Travis Kelce from getting rolling. And I think that's kind of what they're going to do in the beginning of the game, is see if their one-on-one assignments, if their standard kind of scheme, if you want to call it that, is going to work. And then if not, make adjustments. But like you pointed out, if you have to start rolling over help on Travis Kelce or rolling over more help on Tyreek Hill, you've just got Mecole Hardman, you've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and you've got Sammy Watkins over there waiting to take advantage of those open spaces and those individual matchups. So really it's going to boil down to every man across the field, all 11 on the field, have to do their part to do their job the best they can. It's not about keeping Kansas City from scoring, because they're going to score. Like there's no way you're shutting out Kansas City, especially in the Super Bowl. It's about keeping them under, I think, 30 points if you can, to give your offense a chance to put up enough points to win the game.
And I'm glad you put it that way, because it's one of the things, you know, when I watch the game with some people, they get mad when the opposing team scores. And I'm like, I don't care when the opposing team scores. I mean, yeah, I get it. It's upsetting sometimes if they allow 25, you know, 26 points. But as long as they're not allowing 40 points a game, I'm not going to worry about it too much. I know the defense is going to do their job when they need to for the most part. And I think that's the key for both teams in this game. If you can keep the other team to 30 points, you've got a great chance to win.
Absolutely.
Now, if we flip it over to the other side of the ball and we start looking at the Buccaneers defense, Buccaneers offense, I apologize. One of the things that the Chiefs have struggled with this year is defending the tight end. And I know that, Tampa Bay has some talented tight ends, but they've also struggled with, defending running backs coming out of the backfield and catching the ball. The one thing that I think looking at this matchup is if they could get the running backs going in the passing game, I think that could help. But my question to you is that something that's realistic? Because when you look at what the Buccaneers have done, they've got a lot of drops from the running backs.
They do have a lot of drops from the running backs. I mean, what you can guarantee is that Byron Leftwich is going to put these running backs in position to make plays, and that Tom Brady is going to give them opportunities to make those plays as well. It's on Leonard Fournette and it's on Ronald Jones to put it together. And we've seen some really bad runs between these two as far as catching the ball, and we've seen some really good ones. I mean, this is it. Like, this is for everything. This is for the trophy. There is no week after this. There is no more getting better as far as, this season is concerned. You're either going to come out here and put together a solid game or you're not, and that's going to be the end of your legacy for 2020. So it's really just about being a professional, and what everybody's kind of hoping for is that playoff Lenny, as they call him, Leonard Fournette, has done really well and exponentially well in the postseason compared to regular season. Hoping to see more of that. I still, if you're a prop betting man and you're on betonline.ag and there's an over-under of, say, 1.5 for Leonard Fournette drop passes, I would probably take the over on that. But I think if it's 2.5, I think we could see an under on that. And as long as those drops don't become tip drills into the hands of guys like Tyrann Mathieu, then the Buccaneers can survive them. I would expect more designed running back passes, like screens and stuff like that, to come on first and second downs where Byron Leftwich knows they have a chance to make up for a mistake if it happens.
Yeah, and I'm glad you were talking about that when on first and second downs, because to me, I look at that stat and I really get concerned if I'm making a play call and trying to give the running back a pass on third down. With the drops they've had, that would really concern me going into this game because that would just kill a drive. When you look at the rest of this game and you look at, obviously, the two offenses are going to be a lot of fun to watch. The defenses are going to be a lot of fun to watch. What is one thing on the offensive side of the ball that you're going to be really watching for that you think could really, change the tide for Tampa Bay or change the tide for Kansas City on the defensive side?
I'm going to be looking at Rob Gronkowski. So when you look at the most successful games that the Buccaneers have had in recent memory, you go back to week 15 against Atlanta, you look at the wild card round, even against Washington, the defense had a little bit of a harder time, but the offense was able to do enough to get them out of there with a win. And then you look at the NFC Championship game against the Green Bay Packers. Those are three of Rob Gronkowski's highest pass blocking rep totals of this season. And we go back to the beginning of the year when Rob Gronkowski really wasn't getting as involved in the pass game as a lot of people expected him to. And he kind of made the joke that I'm a blocking tight end is what I do. And everybody laughed about it. And then that week, I think it was the Carolina Panthers, maybe he went out and he had a really big game. It was his first big game as a receiver, as a Buccaneer. But then when you go through the season, especially in the playoffs, when the Buccaneers keep Rob Gronkowski in as a blocker, it does things to the defense. For one, your organic pass rush has another person, another element to work through, and that's always a problem. But then the guy that you probably had identified to cover him is either, one, tied to the line of scrimmage because now they have nowhere to drop into because the guy they're covering isn't coming into a pass route. So even if they do end up breaking off and getting into coverage, you've got that hesitation, which helps you open a window, or they come in on a blitz. But if they come in on that blitz, again, they're waiting to see what Rob does. So it's a late blitz. Tom Brady, as long as he's got 3 seconds in the pocket, you're pretty much good. So it really kind of manipulates the defense in a way that a lot of defenses don't know how to react to. And you can't just bail on covering Rob Gronkowski. And then what you saw against Green Bay is late in the game, in the middle part of the game, maybe it's a 3rd and 8. They'll say, okay, we're gonna throw Rob out there on a pass route. And the defense has been seeing him stay in blocking so much, it's almost like they don't know how to react. They're kind of stuck in the mud a little bit, and that's when he comes up with a big catch. That's why Cam Brate has been having such a good postseason, is because as Rob Gronkowski is staying in more and more as a blocker, Cam Brate is getting out there more as a receiver, and he's getting the highlight plays that you're used to seeing Rob Gronkowski get. So that's what I'm watching. I want the Buccaneers to stick to that game plan. I know the Chiefs don't have, this world-beating pass rush on paper and everything else, but they know how to dial things up. You have a defense coordinator, like you said, uses Legarius Sneed and guys like that to manufacture that pass rush. Keep Rob Gronkowski in there. Wait for your time if you're Byron Leftwich to unleash him. So that's what I'm looking for. I want to see if Byron sticks with that game plan or if he gets a little overconfident because of the quote-unquote reputation of the pass rush and maybe gets a little cocky and ends up setting up Tom Brady to get hit.
I have one last quick question. Antonio Brown, I know it's questionable whether or not he plays. I'm guessing he probably is going to. Do you see any of the – I mean, obviously he's not quite what he used to be, but what kind of role do you think he could have in this game?
So for Antonio Brown, I mean, he still obviously has some skill to him and some talent, but I look at him in this Buccaneers offense and this version of the offense. I don't look at him so much as a focal piece or a featured player on the offense. I look at him more as a role player. And don't get me wrong, if the underneath stuff is available, if people are having to double guys like Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, stuff like that, they'll get AB the ball in space and still let him do some things. And he's shown that he can still do some things, but they're not going to necessarily – I don't think they're necessarily going to draw plays where Antonio Brown is the number one target, so to speak. So I look for more kind of like your fake screens or even getting some screens if the space is there. But if you have the fake screen and it keeps the secondary up a little bit, that might be where you get a Scotty Miller over the top or Chris Godwin coming over behind the defender that's supposed to be a little bit deeper because of what AB presents. But as far as his impact on this game, I'm not expecting much. Maybe three catches, 35 yards, is probably the best you can probably expect from AB. But, I mean, it's a Super Bowl, so there's always a hero that comes out of nowhere.
Absolutely. And that is going to be it for us today. Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it. This has been your Super Bowl crossover. And this episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This is exciting. Limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
All right, guys, again, that was Chris Clark, one of the hosts of the Locked On Kansas City Chiefs podcast, at Chris Clark NFL on Twitter. I, of course, am David Harrison, one of your hosts here at Locked On Bucks on Twitter, at DHarrison82. James Yarko, my co-host, at JYarko_Bucks, will be back tomorrow as we wrap up our Super Bowl coverage, our week of Super Bowl coverage, guys. Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans, get ready, get excited, enjoy every single moment, soak it in, because you older Buccaneers fans know it could be a minute before you get to enjoy this again. Hopefully not, though, with Tom Brady already committing to come back one more season. As always, we appreciate all of you for coming in, stopping by in the episode today. If you haven't already, please subscribe, rate, and review the show. It helps other Buccaneers fans just like yourself find everything that James and I are doing over here. Until we meet again, please, if you're out and about, be safe, be healthy, wash your hands, and thank you so much for joining me right here at Locked On Bucks.